Are you ready? It's time for another great infotaining show filled with power-packed business and life information. Welcome to Your Future Is Now with your host, Jim Grant, and co-host, Don McGrath. Want to know how to create a fantastic TED Talk? Or how you can become an author or a speaker or build your own online business? Maybe it's reaching a level of success in your life that you deserve. Their show is designed to provide information to assist you towards your success and destiny. Each week, Jim and Don will interview a special guest and share exciting lessons. So grab a pen and paper. Take some notes. Thanks for joining the show. Now, here's Jim.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I am Jim Grant. Your Future Is Now is proudly sponsored by SpeakersPathway.com. And Dandy Don is not going to be with us today. He's not been with us the last few Fridays because we have a webinar series going on called Messages of Inspiration, Hope, and Support. And he's going to have his shoes filled today by Mr. Bill Heinrich. And if you go to SpeakersPathway.com, you're in for a treat. Because right at the very top on the right, you can see TEDx training. This is a course that, Don developed, and it's a five-step kick-butt TEDx training for your TEDx talks. In addition to that, you can see complimentary gifts. All of our executive training directors offer free complimentary gifts. And underneath that, you will see the messages of inspiration and hope and support. And each individual speaker will have their own personal presentation there, which is about 15 to maybe 18 minutes long. It's bite size, gives you some information on them. And if you follow us on Facebook, our Facebook page is Speakers Pathway Coalition. I made a video there. I posted it there, and I show you all of the things that you might need or you might know someone that would need to be able to help them get from where they are to where they want to be. One of the things that I talk about is a thing called clarity in the mind, because if your mental GPS is not calibrated proper for your natural calling and your individual pathway, you're going to be lost in the woods. And the gentleman who spearheads that is Mr. Bill Heinrich. He is filling in for Dandy Don today. So, Mr. Bill, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you very much, Jim. Yeah, clarity is a valuable gem today, if nothing more than on a moment-by-moment basis, because currently there's so much unknown in the world because of this pandemic that's going on. So it's really a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Well, thank you for filling in for Dandy Don. He's live right now over there on Facebook, and he's streaming live on the page there. And today, we've got a young lady by the name of Buffy Lloyd. I believe that's pronounced Krejci. If not, she will correct me. But she's going to be talking to us about the COVID-19 pandemic. She's going to be talking to us about infectious diseases and things of this nature. And Bill, I know that you and I and everyone else will probably be interested in what she has to say. Wouldn't you agree, sir?
Well, yeah. In fact, when I was looking at the information that Buffy had sent us regarding the infection control practices, especially in nursing homes, I just thought, wow, how timely. So I'm sure that Buffy has a lot to share. Why don't we turn it over to her? Good morning, Buffy.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're certainly glad you're here. So how long have you been doing this type of consulting? And tell us a little bit about what it is you do, and then we can segue into the current situation.
Sure. Well, I've been working in healthcare for over 20 years, and specifically infection prevention and control in nursing homes for about 5 years now. I became board certified just about 3 years ago, and I actually created IPC Well 2 years ago because of the situation that I observed within nursing homes across our country related to infection control.
Right. Well, yeah, it's really amazing because, here in Brenham, Texas, where I live, the COVID-19's already got into the nursing home there, and it's very much a concern. There's several people that have it there, and we've lost, I think, about four people here in the county. It's just a this unknown, as Bill was saying, this just breeds fear. It breeds uncertainty. And, you know, that's why I'm so glad that you're with us today, Buffy, because I know that you can share some things with us to kind of like, you know, keep a grip on things, on reality, because you mentioned also that this is not the only thing that's going on, is it?
Mm-hmm. No, and first I just want to acknowledge the situation that we're in right now. It is a challenging time for everybody. There is a lot of unknowns. We're in a century-wide pandemic. We've never encountered anything of this magnitude before in our lifetime. And so I want to acknowledge and just, you know, let everybody know that just continue to hunker down and you know, have that faith in you know, knowing that we'll get through this. And I also, you know, just knowing that this is a unique situation. However, infection control is not unique, and infection control in nursing homes is not unique. And the challenges that we're seeing right now, to me, they're not a surprise, because infection control in nursing homes, and this is why I started IPC Well, and IPC Well stands for Infection Prevention and Control, and we are facilitators of wellness. And our mission is to reduce the harms and deaths associated with infections within nursing homes and within other healthcare settings within our country and around the world. We definitely open that to a global community as well, because we know that as you guys are experiencing, there's a lot of questions related to infection control. And even as professionals, we are learning every single day along with you of this pandemic and learning how to implement best practices to not only support our community and prevent harms within our population, but preventing the harms with our healthcare workers as well.
Mm. So what is it, Buffy, that got you interested in this area?
So I was working for CMS certified. CMS is the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. They're Medicare. I was working for a quality improvement organization, and I was asked to participate in a pilot study, a national pilot study, that supported nursing homes across the country report their infectious disease data, one particular infection known as Clostridioides difficile infection, or C. diff, into the CDC. So the other healthcare settings, such as hospitals and dialysis centers and acute surgical centers, they all report their infections into CDC. However, in our country, nursing homes are not required. In most states, there are one or two states in our country that do mandate it for their nursing homes. So I started participating on this pilot study. Me and along with my colleagues, we worked with over 500 nursing homes across the country. And I was literally blown away. I couldn't believe, this was in 2016, I couldn't believe that in 2016, the nursing homes did not have strong infection control in their programs, that they didn't have training, that they didn't have the education required to do appropriate infection control. I was absolutely amazed that they were not required to report their infections into the CDC, and that, quite frankly, they weren't using any data to measure outcomes and to really know what kind of problem they had in their facilities. And unfortunately, not a lot has changed since then. And I just knew that I wanted to do more. And I had, you know, you talked earlier about a GPS and being calibrated and having clarity. And I knew this was my GPS. I knew I was being guided and led to help this population, to help the vulnerable, that they deserve good care. They deserve good infection control. And so I set out to do that. And that's how IPC Well was created.
Well, that's really amazing, because when my mother-in-law was in a nursing home there after she broke her hip, I mean, you know, all the residents there, they're at the mercy of the staff and the procedures that they have in place. And I didn't have any idea some of the things that you shared with us that they do not have in place. You would think that would be like an SOP, which stands for Standard Operating Procedures. Mm-hmm. And my goodness, it's kind of like dark ages, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So what's interesting is it wasn't until 2017 that the nursing homes, and when I say nursing homes, I want to clarify because it's also your skilled nursing facilities, mm-hmm. which many people, we're not just talking the elderly, many people will go to these facilities to rehab. So like you were saying, if a hip is broken or if they have some other type of medical procedure that they need to be on IV antibiotics, they'll recover in a skilled nursing facility. So we have very sick patients in these this healthcare setting. And it wasn't until 2017 that it became a federal requirement for nursing homes to have an infection control program. And it wasn't until November 28th of 2019 that the nursing homes were mandated to have at least one person part-time, at least part-time, as the infection preventionist within their facility. So this is new. This is new for long-term care nursing homes.
Wow, I had no idea about that, Bill. How about you?
Well, I know. I'm actually sitting here stunned would be the word
yeah.
because we're now in a situation where regarding the work that Buffy does, we have the perfect storm happening,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, it's because the a majority of the deaths have been people with underlying causes, and nursing homes have been ravaged by this mm-hmm. disease. And it's just shocking to me that this could have gone unnoticed. I know we're going to be going to a break in a minute, but what I'd like to hear more about is how did this oversight occur? What is your, and I'm not trying to point fingers. Obviously, there's a number of things that are coming to light in our society today because of the pandemic, where we're all reinventing ourselves and figuring out new ways to do things and what needs to be changed. And that's something that I'd like to hear more about. How about you, Jim?
Absolutely, because we're getting ready to break for commercial. But yes, I want to know more about that because I'm 71 years of age. I mean, there's no guarantee I'm going to stay in my house for another 30 years without having to need one of these facilities. And I want to know what I'm getting into, I mean, it could get real rude and personnel to you, Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to break for tunes. We'll be right back.
SpeakersPathway.com is the proud sponsor of Your Future Is Now, a show dedicated and aligned in perfect harmony with the vision and mission of Speakers Pathway. Dr. Sony Jackson's expertise is on the art of marketing while cultivating a long-term customer relationship in your business world. Do you know what to say or how to deliver your message to complete strangers? If so, Sony can help you. Tamara Hunter is a cancer survivor and works with people to focus their message or mission to the audience they want to reach. Do you feel called to create a movement to make the world a better place? If so, Tamara can help you. For additional information from any of our executive training directors, go to speakerspathway.com. That is speakerspathway.com.
Christmas traditions vary around the world. Citizens of Finland visit the sauna on Christmas Eve and listen to the national piece of Christmas radio broadcast. Norway is the birthplace of the Yule log cake. And in Greece, many people believe in goblins that cause mischief during the 12 days of Christmas. Captain John Smith drank the first eggnog in his 1607 Jamestown settlement. Nog comes from the word grog, which refers to any drink made with rum. Since Christmas arrives in Australia in the middle of summer, jingbangs or crowds of Aussies celebrate at the beach with beer and Skittles. This is the time each year where we have to climb up to the sky parlor or attic to fetch our Christmas lights. What's the word for decorating till we're about to collapse? Flip-floppers.
It's marching neighborhood.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Word.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Your Future Is Now is proudly sponsored by SpeakersPathway.com. And please go there and check out all the complimentary free gifts that our executive training directors offer. Be sure and check out the messages of inspiration, hope, and support that we have there. We've got all of our speakers there. We're adding them practically every day, new speakers, and they're just their individual presentation of about 15 to 17 minutes long. It's bite-sized, but most importantly, feed your needs, especially during these uncertain times. And Mr. Bill, that first segment that Buffy was sharing with us, my goodness, I mean, all I can say is holy smoke. How about you, brother?
Well, yeah, you know, I have a client who did work regarding infection control in dentist office. And he was explaining to me a week ago about how to wash your hands properly. Mm-hmm. And when he explained it to me, I felt like I was just waving mine in the air a couple times. Like, I don't know how to wash my hands properly regarding Wow. infection control. I was very surprised. So I'd like to hear from Buffy more about that, and about that we had talked about how the situation occurred in the nursing homes. There's so much more to talk about. So why don't you take it from there, Buffy?
Sure. Well, we left off talking a little bit about the oversight, and you know, you discussed bringing up hand hygiene. And, you know, one of the things about infection control is we don't see these organisms. And so it can be challenging as infection preventionists, because we don't see them. And so it's like, oh, we think we're doing a good enough job. And, you know, hand hygiene is one of the fundamental pieces to infection control. And it is often overlooked. It's not actually done appropriately and as often as it needs to be, especially in nursing homes and other healthcare settings. It is like one of those biggest challenges that as infection preventionists, we are constantly working on with our practitioners and our healthcare staff to implement good infection control, good hand hygiene within their facilities.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, for me as an individual, and I imagine there's other listeners out there too, that, you know, we know what we've been told to protect ourselves against this virus is simply to stay home and things like that. But what else can people do other than being good, washing their hands and all that and wearing masks? What else would you recommend them do to put on a good defense for this virus?
Well, I appreciate the question. And, you know, what I would say is to continue to listen and respect and honor what your public health officials are saying. They're working behind the scenes tirelessly, and they're looking at the data, and they're working to protect us as this pandemic evolves. And so the social distancing is the first and foremost important aspect, because if we can separate ourselves from the infection, that's our first line of defense. And then the second is, if you are going out, as the CDC is now recommending for every single person to wear some type of covering on the face, whether it be a mask, a scarf, a bandana, something that will cover the nose and the mouth, because that's where the virus is most susceptible to entering into the body. And then also, of course, doing good hand hygiene. There's a lot that we still are learning about this virus, as the way that it lives on environmental surfaces, the way that we're able to kill it with cleaning products. We're learning a lot about now the testing. And so if you can think about washing your hands 2 to 3 times more than you normally do, anytime you want to touch your face, or if you're removing your mask, wash your hands and just continue. And the practice for washing your hands is to lather up the soap and then sing the happy birthday song twice. And that will actually be sufficient for washing
I like
hands.
That. I like that. You know, and you know, also too, based on what I read about that one cruise ship that came in that didn't have any passengers on board for 17 days. They went in there and they found the coronavirus still alive and active, or however you want to classify it, but it was still there. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, this may sound a little paranoid, but I mean, when I get packages in from the mail or something like that, I mean, I open them in the garage and I take care of what I need to take care of. And then immediately I go wash my hands because I don't want to give that rascal a shot at me at all, because I'm pretty particular who touches me and what touches me and that sort of thing, you know. And you were saying, too, in one of your comments, Buffy, that some of the employees that's assigned to infection control inside of these nursing homes, that they receive very little support and very little training. Has that improved any or what?
So part of the situation that we're in right now with these nursing homes, I'm not surprised that where we're at, because there has been very little training. When, as I indicated, it was only last November that nursing homes required to have on staff at least part-time infection preventionist. And we're talking some buildings have 200, 300 beds. And then even these infection preventionists, they wear many other hats. And when talking to most of them, they typically have maybe 10 hours a week to work on infection control. And that's just not enough time. And the typical training that these staff are receiving now, there is free CDC training, and there's a couple other trainings that are available, which is good training, no doubt. It's a good foundation, but it's not enough. It gives a good start, but then these infection preventionists, they've never done infection control, and it's just not enough training. They need more in-depth training. They need mentoring. They need support in doing infection control. It's a huge career path, and you can't just learn it by an online training program. Mm.
You know, the one thing that comes to my mind, and pardon me for hogging the mic, but I'm just rattling on with my questions here. But if someone is in a position where they got to put a loved one in a nursing home or a rehabilitation facility or something of this nature, what are some of the things that you would recommend them to ask or look for, or what advice would you give them in general?
So you can ask them about their infection control program. You can ask them if they're enrolled into the CDC and they're reporting their infections into the CDC. And if they're not, then ask them to, because they can, and it's a free service for them. And it's one of the big things at IPC Well, we are very much advocates of reporting infections into the CDC. And so ask them to do that, because they can. And it that way they know exactly what infections are occurring in their facility. They can look at the data over time. Because typically, what I want to say about this is they are looking at the infections, the nursing homes, but they typically are looking at them from a month-to-month snapshot. So they know, say, in 1 month we had 10 UTIs, we had MRSA, we had C. diff, we had this many infections this month. And then they go on to the next month. And then this month we had this many, and then they go on to the next month. And they're not using that data as a way to measure over time and to then decrease their infections over time. I'm not saying all, I'm just saying in general, this is the practice, and you do have some really good nursing homes that do use the data and that do report into NHSN. It's just one of those things that I believe and stand strongly behind, that if you're tracking your infections and you're evaluating it over time, then you can set a plan and you can have goals to reduce your infections in your building.
Now, the thing that is keeps coming to mind for me is my mother, who passed away a number of years ago now, but she was in an extended care facility. She had an apartment, and then they had different divisions in there. And as her condition worsened, she got moved into the different areas until she finally passed away. But looking at what's happening now and thinking about how when I would go see her, you know, I'd go walking in there like, I mean, and I hate to use this analogy, you know, like I'm walking into a restaurant or a bar. It's just like, oh, you know, hi, everybody. Never a thought of the fact that I could be carrying some infection that would affect the other older people in there. Never a thought. And to see this happening now. So what changes do you see coming, or are you recommending going forward because of what's happening now, Buffy?
Well, you know, I love this radio station, Our Future Is Now, and our future is now to change this healthcare setting. First of all, change is possible, and I believe this pandemic has shined the light on the problems that have have been existing in nursing homes for a long time. And what we can do is we can hold nursing homes to the same standard of infection control as we do our other healthcare settings. We can hold them to the same standard of infection control practices, of having the staff be able to have more time devoted to infection control, so that the staff can be out on the floor and they can observe infection control practices, that they can conduct surveillance and report their infections. And it's not just, you know, we don't want to just blame the nursing homes, because this is, I mean, I don't want to blame anybody, but it's not just a nursing home problem. This is a state and federal problem where we need to raise the standards, and we need to say that our vulnerable population, our elderly and those with immunocompromised illnesses, they deserve this. They deserve to have the best and highest level of health care that other health care settings such as our hospitals have. And that's how we can change this.
That's really amazing. I like your approach there, because you know, there's something that, you know, mothers, I want to say this, got my tongue tied there. Necessity is the mother of invention. And this coronavirus has really come home to all of us. It's really a wake-up call for us. And I'm just sitting here and I'm just kind of shocked at what I'm hearing. And I'm encouraged also, too, that this will be a step in the right direction for, you know, for people that have to, you know, utilize nursing homes and rehabilitation centers and things of this nature. And, Bill, I know you feel the same way, because, I mean, it's a shock to us, isn't it?
Well, it's absolutely shocking. When I think back of my own experience and the absence of knowledge, I had no awareness of anything of this. Again, in visiting my mother when she was in that facility. And I'm curious, I think we're going to go to break in a minute, but when we come back, I'd like to hear about, was the focus on infection control just because of the expansion in medicine in hospitals and in the core area? Is this how it kind of got out of alignment? And what changes you think you see coming in the future?
Uh-huh. That'd be a great topic. We're getting ready to go to commercial here. And ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned. We'll be right back right after these messages.
This show, Your Future Is Now, is sponsored by SpeakersPathway.com. And just like the show, we are dedicated and aligned in perfect harmony with the same vision and mission of helping people to find their future. Is fear holding you back from your calling or your life mission? Do you struggle with taking that first step? If so, Bill Henrich is our catalyst to help you create perspectives with new possibilities that will bring you more peace, more joy, more love in your life and freedom. Do you struggle trying to build your strategy? Do you know how to reach your end results? If not, Gigi Ames is your expert in strategy and helping you create your step-by-step game plan to reach your finish line. For more information on creating the life you want to live, reach out to Bill Henrich. Or if Gigi Ames can help you with building your strategy with your end goal in sight, go to SpeakersPathway.com. That is SpeakersPathway.com.
It's words you never heard.
Did you ever notice you buy more groceries when you use a large shopping cart? The shopping cart, or trolley as it was originally called, was invented in 1937 by Sylvan Goldman, owner of two Oklahoma City grocery stores. Back then, shoppers carried their food in wicker baskets. One day, Goldman was observing his customers and realized that as soon as their baskets were full or too heavy on their arm, people stopped shopping. Goldman thought, if we could somehow give customers two baskets, we could do considerably more business. What's another word for a resourceful person? A debrouillard. Goldman put wheels on some folding chairs, attached two baskets to the seat, and let the back of the chair act as a handle so the cart could be pushed with one hand. What do you call anything that can be manipulated with one hand? A thumb-a-doodle.
It's words you never heard.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Word.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Grant. Your Future Is Now is proudly sponsored by the speakerspathway.com. The good folks at speakerspathway.com, we got a lot of free complimentary gifts over there. We got our webinar series that's ongoing Monday through Friday. That's where Dandy Don is. Mr. Bill Heinrich is filling in for him. And we're just so proud to be of a small part of that. Messages of inspiration, hope, and support. It's there for everyone to get positive get positive thoughts and things of this nature, especially in this hour of need. And Bill, before the break, or during the break, I should say, my goodness, Buffy was laying some big, big numbers on us about serious infections, wasn't she?
Yeah. In fact, what I'm curious about is this is happening now, and it's been in the news every day that many of these nursing homes are getting ravaged by this pandemic. But what was it like before? Now that this is being brought to our attention, how serious was the situation before the pandemic hit, Buffy?
Well, it's been a serious situation, and I have often felt like I'm on the top of a mountain trying to get people's attention of how serious this situation is, but nobody would listen, or very few would listen, I should say. And the seriousness of it, according to the CDC, the data that they have that from nursing homes, is that there are 1 to 3 million serious infections that are occurring in this healthcare setting every year, and 380,000 deaths, which equate to over 1,000 deaths every day, are occurring in this healthcare setting. That's how serious this is.
And that was before the pandemic hit, right?
This was before the pandemic.
Whoa, mercy. I mean, this is something we don't hear anything about. And, you know, Buffy, I know there's people out there, and probably someone in the healthcare industry might say, hey, we need to talk to Buffy, and you would be smart in making that decision. Would you be so kind as to share your website, your email address, and anything else you'd like to share with them, please?
Sure. We're ipcwell.com, and you can email me at buffy@ipcwell.com. And what I'd like to offer our guests today is a 30-minute consultation with me. We can discuss infection control, and you can email me, and I'll be able to set that up with you, again, at buffy@ipcwell.com. And then I also want to offer to our healthcare settings that we're offering a monthly service starting at as little as $150 a month, $150 a month to work with your facility. And then if people sign up today, then they'll be able to receive a 25% discount on all of our services, which include our deep dive assessments, our monthly consultations, having me on call to work with you. And that can be a savings up to over $1,200 that they can receive just by signing up with us.
Well, that's really amazing. I really appreciate you sharing that, because I don't know, but probably coming down the trail, there might be some strong government regulations for penalties for not doing some of the things that you're capable to train them to do. Would that be, am I close on that, far-fetched, or do you know?
There are. There's currently, as I was mentioning, the 2017 guidelines that were implemented requiring infection control programs. Mm-hmm. But what I'll say the gap in, and this is where the nursing homes will start to see, and I anticipate after this pandemic that the penalties will be stricter. And I already know the state surveyors have their eyes very much on nursing homes now with a magnifying glass. They're calling them daily. They're really checking their infection control programs. And so what facilities really need to do is, they may have the best policies in the world, but where we often find the gaps is what's actually occurring in practice. And so that's what we do at IPC Well, is really help identify those gaps and then provide solutions to mitigating those gaps.
And Buffy, you are the owner of IPC Well. That's IPC is in India, Papa Charlie Well.
Yes.
Just like a water well, W-E-L-L. Everybody wants to be well. And you are also board certified infection preventionist, are you not?
Correct.
So you've got some tremendous credentials. Not only you got experience, but you can work with people and help them get up to standard and have a standard they could be proud of.
Absolutely.
Because nursing home care, I know from my own personal experience, it was, I didn't know what to ask, but the questions I asked, they just kind of like looked at me like, well, you know, how do you handle people when they're sick and how you keep them separated? And you're kind of like, well, you know, we just, you know, put them over there in the room or whatever. I'm going like, just, that's what I mean about lackadaisical. That was my personal experience. That could have been a, you know, very isolated case. I do not know because I'm not a subject matter expert on nursing homes, but that's something that concerns all of us, you know, not only in nursing homes, but people that have got to go to a rehab center. Wow. I mean,
And there are evidence-based guidelines that these facilities can follow the same way as our hospitals follow them, the same practices. They're different for long-term care because it's a different population, and we have the large amount of people actually living in these facilities. And to some degree, I feel like our system got it a little bit backwards, where we should have put more focus, we should have really put strong focus on our long-term care nursing homes to begin with, instead of having them be last, because our residents live there. And so as you can see with this pandemic, it hits the nursing home and it can spread like wildfire. Mm-hmm. What I want to say, though, if you have good infection prevention and control practices in place, like I have a few clients that have had COVID in their buildings, because they have implemented strong infection control practices, they're able to rapidly contain it and prevent the spread of it to not only additional residents, but their healthcare workers. And they've done a fantastic job of doing that. And so it's possible. I don't know what the infection control practices of these buildings, that it's just going through like wildfire, because we can contain it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really amazing, because I remember watching the charts and stuff when the virus started. We were like in fifth place or something like that. And now we're in first place. I mean, oh, my goodness gracious. We've just grown like wildfire. Mm-hmm. The cases have here. And, you know, other than us staying home and, you know, washing our hands and all that, that's about all that we can do. And, of course, eat good and take vitamins and that sort of thing. But holy smokes, I mean...
Well, we need to change the industry. And I say right now it's very passive. In long-term care anyway, it's passive for infection control. And we need to shift that to an active role. We need to be more, we need to shift from this. And we're even like reactive. Like if there's an infection, like, oh, there's a fire. We've got to change that. We've got to implement prevention practices. We've got to be proactive. We've got to implement these practices that involve everybody. It's not just the infection preventionist's job to do infection control. It's everybody's job. And I want to share a really quick story, because this happened yesterday and it really made my heart smile. So I'm working with a facility and they're implementing hand hygiene for the residents more. And they said to make sure the residents, they have hand hygiene before they eat their meals, after they eat their meals. And they have the hand sanitizer and they pump a few pumps in their hands, and then the residents, you know, do their hand hygiene with the sanitizer. And as I was talking to my client yesterday, she said their residents now, the patients in these nursing homes, are now asking, where's our hand sanitizer? And I can't tell you how happy that made me, because infection control is everybody's responsibility. And the fact that they have their residents now engaged, like, what more could you ask for? I mean, that's just fantastic.
One thing that comes to mind for me, Buffy, is when of course, there's probably, I would imagine there's going to be changes and new regulations and guidelines. But for people like myself who have had family in these nursing homes, what can they do when they're going to visit them once they're allowed back in, so that on an individual basis we can help curb these diseases and infections?
Well, first of all, I think we as as a population, as consumers, we need to demand more. We need to say our loved ones deserve strong infection control practices, and we are going to demand this. Like, we need to demand this. It's absolutely appalling that they are not up to the standard that they need to be. So that's number one. And number two, you know, go in and talk to the nursing home. And again, like what I had mentioned, ask them. I can guarantee you they're all going to tell you they have a strong infection control program. So you have to dive a little deeper. I mean, they tell me that, you know, they're all going to say we have strong infection control program, but have them, you know, dive deeper, say, you know, are you reporting your infections to the CDC? What are your infection rates? Ask them those questions, because if they don't know those questions, then you may say, well, what can we do to make sure that we can improve this? Another tip I want to say to you, and this is really for even your healthcare settings, is go into the nursing home and see if they have access to hand sanitizer. Is there hand sanitizer dispensers outside of every resident room? If they don't have it outside of every resident room, are they inside of every resident room? Because if we don't have access to hand sanitizing dispensers, guess what? Hand hygiene is not happening. So that's one thing you can do as soon as this is all open, and that's a quick fix. The nursing home's vendors, they will provide the sanitizers for free. And that's a quick, easy fix that will enable the staff and the residents and the visitors to do hand hygiene every time they come into contact with your loved one.
That's really amazing when you say that, because as you were describing that, something so simple, what popped in my mind is in the hospital rooms, they've been doing that for I don't know how long. Someone comes in your room, a staff member, a nurse, and just to see if you're still alive, if you need anything or whatever. I mean, I see them when they come into the hospital room, they wash their hand, you know, use a hand sanitizer, and they, you know, make sure they use it on the way out. Then, I mean, it's just some would do it twice.
Yes. When they go in the room, it's called gel in and gel out. When they go in the room, they need to use the hand sanitizer. And when they go out of the room, they need to use hand sanitizer.
Wow. And you think something that simple would be standard operating procedure in these nursing homes, especially with people when they have, you know, physical ailments and things of this nature.
It is the standard operating procedure. It's just not always done.
Yeah. We're about ready to break for commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. We got a lot more to hear from Buffy when we come back from commercial break. So stay with us, and thank you so much for tuning in. Appreciate it.
Future Is Now is sponsored by SpeakersPathway.com, and just like the show, we are dedicated and aligned in perfect harmony with the same vision and mission of helping people define their future. You may have heard that a picture is worth a thousand words. Well, a video is worth a thousand pictures. Koji Somaldi says, if you're not using video in 2019, you're going to get left behind. Most people feel lost or confused when it comes to marketing. Preston Martelli is a marketing guru whose strategies are both art and science in growing your business. Preston helps you make the right decisions that are predictable, measurable, and scalable. For additional information about Koji, Preston, or any of our executive training directors, go to our website at speakerspathway.com. That is speakerspathway.com.
Well, skunks are making the news again. Seems everyone has a skunk story. A friend of mine was dozing on the couch on her patio when she felt something furry brush up against her hand. She thought it was her cat until she smelled a terrible odor. I was petting a skunk, she told me. What's a word for shocked? Timey-wimey. In Colorado, a wildlife officer was called to help a skunk whose head was stuck in a peanut butter jar. After tugging for 10 minutes, they finally freed the critter and it ran away without spraying anyone. Guess that was a fair trade, otherwise known as quitter for quatter. In Minnesota, it's illegal to tease a skunk. What's the word for teasing a skunk? Tanning, wart wardling, and downright foolish.
It's Margin Day.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Word.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Grant. Your Future Is Now is proudly sponsored by SpeakersPathway.com. And please go there, check it out, get some free gifts, complimentary gifts, and check out the messages of inspiration, hope, and support. This particular show, ladies and gentlemen, we've had a young lady on by the name of Buffy Lloyd Craichy. And I'm telling you, she has literally reached through this microphone in front of me and slapped me and woke me up because of all of the shocking information that I did not realize what was going on. And Bill, I know you feel the same way, and we're going to hear a lot more from her, right? Aren't we, sir?
Well, I do feel the same way. In fact, I'm sitting here. What I was just thinking about was because of my shock to the information I was getting and the way we've been asking questions, a couple of things that I'd like to hear from Buffy is, one, you had mentioned that you do have a free offer for a 30-minute consultation. And in that, you mentioned some of the other services that you provide. And the second thing is, because we've kind of been firing questions at you here because of our shock, what are the some points that you want to make sure get made? So let's start first with maybe some of your different levels of service that you provide to the nursing facilities, nursing homes, and then make sure that we cover points that we haven't asked you about.
Sure. So we at IPC Well, we offer full infection control services and for our consulting. And we first like to start off with, it depending on the budget, but at the very least, we'd love to work with facilities on a monthly basis. Like I said, we're offering a low monthly fee of $150 a month, where they have access to me and being able to ask questions. And it's a slower type of service, but at least it gives you an anchor to an expert and somebody that you can ask questions to. So that's a great start. And then for another level, we have what we call our deep dive assessment. So we use the CDC and the CMS infection control assessment, and we actually come on site and do a deep dive assessment. We're on site for about 6 hours, and we look at the policies that have been written. And then my favorite part is actually going on the floor and examining and reviewing the practices. We talk to staff, we're evaluating how hand hygiene is occurring, environmental cleaning services, dietary, food service, all the different areas we're evaluating. And then we provide a written report with pictures and a summary and really detailed summary report of exactly where their gaps are and what they need to work on. And then we help them on a month-to-month basis develop a plan of action and slowly over time begin implement. Some things happen right away. Like I said, if there's not hand sanitizing dispensers, well, we get those put up in a day or two. I mean, it's that fast. And then we help them implement the best practices, and we provide education and training. Perhaps my favorite part is we work directly with the infection preventionist who's assigned infection control in the building. And it's my mission and value to empower, educate, and equip, because I'm not there on site all the time with them. I want them to feel empowered, and I want them to be equipped to do that work. And as we had mentioned earlier, any of these infection preventionists have very little training, and they're scared, and they don't know what they're doing a lot of times. And so it gives me great joy to be able to help support them and back them and let them know they've got me as an expert to help them. And I mean, they text me, they call me. So we're just really there. We're working alongside of them, and that's really what we're helping them do. Additionally, we help them enroll into NHSN, the CDC's data reporting system. We give them complete training on that. That's included in our services. And we just partner. You know, I would say we're a partner with them in infection control.
What I'm hearing from you, Buffy, is that if I was running a nursing facility or rehabilitation facility, if I hired you, you're the subject matter expert to make sure that I am up to speed on what's coming down on the legal end, and you make sure you give me great information on how to be the best facility in town. Would that be accurate?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Your loved ones, people will be happy to have their loved ones staying at your facility because they know that, you know, we provide them, once they're enrolled into NHSN, we provide them a CDC certificate that they can proudly present at the entrance of their building. And so people know that we care about infection control. We're reporting into the CDC. And, you know, it's that great support that they receive.
That's wonderful, because if I walked into a place like that and check it out for a loved one or whatever, and I saw those kind of credentials, that would give me some confidence.
Yes.
It really would. And what else would you like to share with us while we still got a few minutes left?
Well, today was great news to me. There was an article that I woke up to at 6:30 this morning that said that the CMS administrator, Seema Verma, has announced that nursing homes will be now reporting into the CDC the COVID-19 data. Now, this is, as we're broadcasting live, this is going to be news to a lot of nursing homes, but that was announced today, and there will be forthcoming information about that hopefully by the end of next week, but they will have a way to report their COVID-19 infectious data into the CDC. And to me, that gave me, I reached out to one of my friends at the CDC this morning and I said, we're heading in the right direction. And it gave me so much hope and joy because we really need to, in order to really grasp and understand infections in nursing homes, we need to have every single nursing home in this country reporting their data into NHSN. And from a public health standpoint, that will help us as an industry understand what the problem is more fully and then implement practices that we can support nursing homes in reducing these infections and these deaths. And so the fact that this was announced this morning for COVID gives me hope that we can potentially in the future roll this out to other infections for the nursing homes.
You know, Buff, go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to ask, I don't know if you have this information, Buffy, but how many nursing homes are there? What is the population of them? Do you have those numbers?
There's 15,600 Medicare certified nursing homes in our country.
Wow.
Over 4 million residents will live in these nursing homes every year. Some long-term, some short-term, but over 4 million people will be in these nursing homes and receive care every year.
Wow, that's really amazing. And, you know, being a former owner of a manufacturing business and all that, I understand the daily operations that go on in any kind of a business, because in a nursing home and things of that nature, they're busy, you know, taking care of the patients, washing clothes, feeding, you know, preparing meals, delivering meals, all those things. And I would just venture if I was the owner of a nursing home or rehabilitation center, I'd say, wow, I think I'm going to hire this young lady here to come over and take care of that, because that would be very, very, when you figure $150 for a month, that's very, very, you can't afford not to afford mm-hmm. that per hour. If you break that down to the hour, the way I'd look at things.
Mm-hmm.
And also, too, with Mr. Bill, since he's been with us and filling in for Dandy Don, I know he has a free gift. Clarity has no story. Would you be kind enough to share the website where people can get that? Because a lot of people need clarity in their minds right now.
Yeah, Jim. I have a book that's called Clarity Has No Story. And actually, having Buffy on today, when you have clarity around your disease control, infection control in nursing homes, there's no story that goes with it, is there, Buffy? Things are either in place or they aren't, right?
Correct.
So people can get this book at myfreebook.me, myfreebook.me. Thanks for mentioning that, Jim. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. And thank you for sharing that, because, ladies and gentlemen, that web address and all the web addresses that we've mentioned here and email addresses, they'll be in the description of the show at toganet.com. Your future is now. And just look it up and be sure and take advantage of all the free gifts that we've offered here today, especially if you're a nursing home facility provider or rehabilitation center. I would highly recommend you get in touch with Buffy. And Buffy, again, please share how they can get in touch with you, please.
You can reach me at Buffy, B-U-F-F-Y, at ipcwell.com. And I'll be happy to chat with you.
Well, thank you so much. I'll tell you right now, Bill, I don't know about you, but what I've heard from Buffy today, I'm going to make sure I eat my Wheaties and take my vitamins, brother. How about you?
Well, it's created so much more awareness for me, Buffy. It's just appalling to me how ignorant I was regarding this situation, especially when I think back of visiting my mother when she was still alive, that the infections and diseases aren't worse than they are. Maybe they're just extremely high because of the lack of awareness that everyone has, including the nursing homes, mm-hmm. And the various organizations that oversee this.
Yeah, because one of the things I was concerned with when my mother-in-law was in a nursing home was how clean did they keep the patients, because you hear horror stories about that too. And that is just a breeding ground for all sorts of diseases. I mean, goodness gracious. I'm just shocked. Go ahead, please.
I just want to say that we at IPC, well, we're committed to changing this, and there is a solution, and the solution doesn't have to be as painful and as costly as some might think. And so I personally want to leave with hope that we can change this and we can make a difference. And our vulnerable population, our elderly, our loved ones, they deserve this.
You bet. And Buffy, can I ask you of a favor? Is it okay with you if I refer you and your topic to other podcast and talk show hosts that I know? Because this is extremely important.
Absolutely. Please do. Let's get this message out. It needs to be. We need to be talking about this.
You're exactly right, because I'm kind of like that old saying, you know, it depends, you know, where you stand depends on where your forces sit. And think of all the people who have suffered and been sick and having to deal with, you know, disease and things of this nature that could have been prevented.
Yes.
And ladies and gentlemen, please share Buffy's message. You can download it here at TogiNet. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us on YouTube at Jim Grant Live. And, you know, please share this message with others, because we need to get the word out. I'm Jim Grant. We're almost out of time, but I want to personally thank Buffy for being with us today. Mr. Bill, thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, we sincerely hope you have a wonderful weekend. Take care of yourself, love yourself, and be good to yourself. I'm Jim Grant. Have a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye.